Well, the singers sound great this morning, and you guys sound okay. And he kind of started our series, Life Together.
Amen.
Life Together. And he talked about the first person. Can't. Testing 1, 2.
What about?
Can you hear me now? Yes! Power! So Sam Lang, did y'all hear anything I said? Okay. So Sam Lang came last week and kicked off our series Life Together. And it was very special. He talked about the one of the seven people that could help us get to heaven. And that's a pretty deep thought, to really embrace that we need each other, not only for life, but to get to heaven. And if you ponder on that and think about that, the importance of us being together, and not only being together, but doing life together. Life together. The Florida Discipleship Conference, and pray for brothers and sisters that will be traveling back today, coming back to Tallahassee, but it was amazing. And for me personally, there are a lot of lessons. I mean, I did two yesterday and then drove back home. And, you know, my thoughts on all the conferences and having all these lessons, that we've heard many lessons in our lifetime, especially if we've been around over 10 years. We've heard, there's nothing that we haven't heard, really, you know. So there's not going to be anything really, really new. So in my opinion, I think conferences should be more of let's inspire, let's worship, and then let's talk. Let's do life together. Let's talk about our lives. Because all we're doing when we preach is talking about their lives. Talk about how they drifted from God and came back, how they were together and resolved issues, how they lived life together or didn't, and how they lived life with God or didn't. And so I totally am moved and inspired by the fellowship when we go to FDC. You realize we were in Miami, Fort Lauderdale for 18 years. 18 years. I moved there when I was 23 years old, and was there for 18 years. I met my wife while I was in Miami, Fort Lauderdale area. Met her at a conference in Boston. We adopted our two children when we were there in Miami, Fort Lauderdale. I got the call from my dad that my mother was dying in Miami, Fort Lauderdale. There's so much that happened while we were down there, and so many relationships that we established and God blessed. And it's like a reunion when we go to Florida Discipleship Conferences. It's a reunion. I mean, literally, I can barely get to class because we just talk. Oh, my God. Look at Junior. He's not a junior anymore. He's taller than me. Oh, my God. And we're just talking about family, talking about memories. I mean, just recounting all the days gone by. We get to share so many different aspects of life with people. That's the blessing to me. I think I got the greatest job in the world, to be able to be with people and do life with people. It's the greatest job in the world to me. You know, I think about the memories. There were some that were just unforgettable. Back in those 18 years, I mean, some memories are just unforgettable. Certain life-changing conversations. And they come up to you and you go, you remember when you said this? I go, no, I don't remember that. No. I go, oh, yeah, I remember, oh, yeah. And then I go, when you told me that, and these conversations over coffee or dinner that are just unforgettable, that changes lives, whether it's advice or encouragement or warning or correction. But we're doing it because we're doing life together. Think about fishing, going on deep sea fishing trips. Think about brothers flag football, when I'd pull my hamstring when I got a little older. Think about those unforgettable times and those unforgettable moments. Think about the early morning prayer times. That before I got married, the brothers in my apartment, we'd get together at 6 in the morning and pray, because one brother had to be at work like at 6:30, so we'd pray early so we can be together. Life, unforgettable, life-changing moments. I think about the weddings that I've done, officiated. The people that say, oh, you married us, and they're telling their kids that I'd never met. He married us. He officiated our wedding. And I'm like, yay, Junior, you know, and we're talking. And but just to remember all these wonderful things. So you counseled us. You saved us. You rescued us. And I'm like, you rescued us. You helped us. I remember your advice. I remember when you pulled us out of, the flaming arrows of hell. I mean, you know, yeah, we remember that. Deep memories that never go away, that are always cherished. Then we have some challenging memories, like the call when, you know, you receive that, man, my daughter's pregnant. I found out I have cancer. We just had a miscarriage. My mother died. My father died. My son passed away. You have those challenging moments. I lost my job. AB, what am I going to do? I lost my job. Those misunderstandings that we have in fellowship. Well, but you said, and when you said that, I took it this way, and we had to resolve conflict. Those moments. Those are life together challenging moments. Health issues. Chronic illness. That's life together. Those are challenging moments. What about the miraculous ones, conversions? When you see people literally come out of the waters of baptism, forgiven, Holy Spirit filled, new life, new perspective, a new hope. Think about the restorations, people saying, coming back, and us clapping and applauding and going, man, you're back, amen, come on in. Never forget those days. People growing in their convictions. Seeing in North Miami, we led a section in North Miami, and many of our young men grew up in the hood, and several of them were drug pushers. And to see them, how they went from pushing drugs to pushing the gospel. And to see them change, and their life change, and their situation change, and then surrounded by men they could go to, they could get for counseling and help and inspiration, and to work through the different challenges in culture. In Miami, you have Nicaraguans, Cubans, Haitians, Jamaicans, Africans, Americans, few Americans. It's a melting pot. How do you all get along? People going, well, you don't understand my culture. Well, you don't understand my culture. Well, we got to get in the Bible and find out God's culture. And then we can celebrate our culture. But we can't let our culture dominate our lives. And so you go through that. I tell you, it was a great training ground in the ministry to be in South Florida and all those different backgrounds and cultures. We had some miraculous unifying times. We didn't see color. We didn't see language. We saw Jesus. There are some day-to-day aspects of life that we did life together. We talked about our budgets, talked about spending, talked about shopping, talked about the air conditioning breaking. We talked about just the things that are, you know, repairs on the cars. We talked about how to raise our children. And how are we doing with that? Where's Junior? How's it going? Oh, man, you wouldn't believe what happened last night. I mean, we have this life together. Marriage ups and downs. Let me tell you what she said. Let me tell you what he said. Let me tell you what we did. Let me tell you how we resolved it. They just show us how we as brothers and sisters in Christ do life together. Can you imagine taking it over 2,000 years ago? Could you imagine spending three amazing, wonderful, adventurous, powerful, unbelievable years with Jesus? Day in, day out. Following him, watching him, being with him, laughing with him, crying with him, watching him heal, watching him raise people from the dead, watching him teach, watching him feed, him telling you to feed the 5,000. I mean, just so much life happened in 3 years for these men. And then all of a sudden, one day, even though you've heard Jesus talk about these things, but one day you hear him say that he would no longer be with you. And you go, wait a minute, hold up, time out. I thought this was a new kingdom. It's only been 3 years. I thought you're going to be here a little longer. You can hear them thinking about that, but maybe not saying much. And he told the disciples this, and you know what they were thinking. Say, what? What? Peter, the bold one, right? He asked the question, Lord, where are you going? He simply asked, well, we've had life together. Where are you going? And Jesus replies, where I'm going, you cannot go. And Peter, being the person he is, says, well, why not? And everybody's like, that's exactly what I was thinking. But Peter's going to say it, right? And he said, well, why not? He said, listen, let me tell you something, Jesus. I'll die with you and for you. Where you go, I'm going. And Jesus tells them not to lose heart or be troubled. He said he has many rooms in his house prepared for them. And Thomas, the engineer of the group, says, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Since we don't know where you're going, you haven't given us any direction. How can we know the way? What Thomas said is true. If you don't know where the Lord is going, you can't possibly know the way. You end up eventually getting lost, confused, and frustrated, and overwhelmed. You see, Jesus, after Thomas's question, makes a confession that I believe is so important if we are to consider doing life together. And his confession is found in John 14 in verse 6. Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That was Jesus' confession. And he actually makes four of them. In order for you and me to have life and to have life together, I believe we must make the very same confession about Jesus. If we don't make this confession, we can't have life together. Not in the way that God desires. Oh, we can have life together, but not in the way that God requires. So the first confession, he says, I am. Jesus answered, I'm confessing, I am. I am. What he was saying is a very intense way of referring to himself. It is a way of saying, I, myself, and only I am. There's no other I am. I am. I am. Several times in the Gospels, we find Jesus using these words. He's saying, I am God. I am God. The Jews clearly understood Jesus to be calling himself God because they took up stones to stone him for committing blasphemy. And he's equating himself with God, so they said, we can't have that. That's a sin, and we want to kill you for what you're saying. These words reflect the very name of God in Hebrew, Yahweh, which means to be or the self-existing one. He's saying, I am the self-existing one. I am God. I am. It's a name of power, authority, and Jesus claims it as his own. Very powerful statement. We don't know the way. He says, I am. The second confession. I am the way. I am the way. It's not a program. It's a person. I am the way. Jesus used this word to distinguish himself as not only the way, but the only way. I am the only way. So if we're to have life together, he is the only way to do that. It is a way, a path, a route. It's a journey. And he's saying there's no other path, there's no other route to heaven, no other way to the Father. Peter reiterated the same truth years later to the rulers in Jerusalem, saying salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. So when we think about he is the I am and he is the way, he is the direction, he is the route, he is the path to the Father, and I believe he is the path to us doing life together. The third confession, he is the truth. Again, Jesus emphasizes himself as the what? Only truth. He is the only truth. You know, many times we have a lot of things that we think are true in our minds when it comes to anything. Anything. Whether it be how to do church, how to do life together, how to do your job, how to do family, how to do a marriage. And Jesus says, I am the way and the truth. Third confession. Psalm 119, 142 says, your righteousness is everlasting and your law is true. John 1, 1 and 2 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word what? Was God. He, Jesus, the I am, was with God in the beginning. And then the Word becomes flesh. This truth, this righteousness becomes flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Man, if you want to understand life together, you got to understand who the I am is. And you got to understand the way. And you got to understand the truth. And his fourth confession is life. Is life. Jesus had been telling his disciples about his impending death, and now he was claiming to be the source of life. John 10, 17 and 18, the reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my what? Life. Only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay down and authority to take it up again, the command I receive from my Father. This command I receive from my Father. He declared, guys, don't fret. I have the power because of I am the I am, and I am the way, and I am the truth. I'm also the life. And when I lay my life down for my sheep, I'm going to take it back up again. Have faith in that. His deliverance was not political. It was not social. Most Jews were seeking that. He was going to deliver a life of bondage out of sin and death and a life of freedom and eternity. So, Jesus made these confessions regarding himself. I believe if we are to truly have life together, we have to make these confessions personally. Personally. Not only as a congregation, but we have to make them personally. personally saying that I confess that Jesus is the I am. He is the only one. Jesus is the way, the only path to heaven. He is the only true measure of righteousness, which is truth. And he is the source of both physical and spiritual life. It is Jesus. So if Jesus made this confession about himself, what kind of a confession do you and I to make in order to have life? The same four. The same four. Life together begins with, I believe, these confessions. Life, true life together, believes, but begins with these confessions. You see, Jesus must be the Lord of our life together. It can't be our opinions. It can't be our thoughts and our cultures and our backgrounds and our hurts and our pains and our victories. Jesus has to be Lord of our life together. Jesus has to be the Savior of our life together. Do you think with these types of people, you and me, our backgrounds, our mentalities, that we can get along without him? It's not going to happen. So when we do mess up, and we will, when we are misunderstood, and we will be, when we do hurt, or when we do make unwise comments, or just ignorant gestures, then we need to be kind of rescued from that, don't we? And guess who's going to do that? Not me. Not Todd, not Steve, not George. Not Patty. Jesus. And so that's why when we have, when the body, we're going to talk about body life in the next few weeks. And when you have a body that's hurt, the body heals. But it has to come from the Savior, the true healer. So, Jesus' death and resurrection confirms and solidifies his confessions. Jesus' death and resurrection is what we must daily remember and celebrate and embrace if we're to have life together. And that's why we take communion every week, so that we can remember that, that he is the life, he is the resurrection, he is our source and resource of our life together. Let us take communion with these thoughts. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the calling that we've received. And we know that, Father, you call us the called out ones. We're called from a way of life that we live to live a new life and to have new experiences and new truths and new ways and Father, having new life together. And we ask that you would help us and you would help us to remember what you died for. Help us to remember what you suffered for. Help us to remember what you were resurrected for and how we should celebrate that resurrection and celebrate that power and celebrate your sovereignty. Oh, Father, we desperately need to do life together. And Father, we know that that's the way that we will be changed and we will change the world. Help us to reflect and remember on how individually we can do that in our daily lives. Help us to prepare for this week by remembering our Lord and Savior Jesus. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.